This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What is going on, everybody? I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ton of news going on today. It's one of those days. It seems like it's always one of those days. We're going to bring you all of that and more. I want to get started with the Fani Willis decision that came down from a Georgia appeals court. If you haven't listened to the show before, I am a lawyer and an economist. I have worked in the fancy pants law firms on Wall Street in New York. I have been in both New York federal court and state court. I will get to the developments in the Luigi Mangione federal indictment and his extradition hearing and his whereabouts as we speak and the hearing that's going on right now. And I've also been involved in incredibly complicated governmental matters. I was a government lawyer for a long time. So I'm going to start with these two big legal stories and hopefully bring for each and every one of you a little bit of my background and expertise on these matters. If you've got questions for me or comments about what's been going on, please do not hesitate to reach out and call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Of course, if you emailed, I'd probably give you a very long written response to your questions about these matters, because that's what I do. But let's jump in. The Fani Willis case. This is the Georgia racketeering, state law-based criminal case that was brought against Donald Trump and a bunch of alleged co-conspirators relating to their false, completely evidence-less claims and attempts to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Now, it's been a little while since we've heard about the Georgia case. And one of the reasons why it has been a while is that Fani Willis hired a special prosecutor to oversee this RICO case against Donald Trump and 10 plus other alleged co-conspirators. Again, this is all about their efforts specifically in Georgia to overturn the 2020 election, including but not limited to Donald Trump's phone call to the then and now Georgia Secretary of State asking him to find him, you know, the exact number of votes that he would have needed in Georgia in order to be declared the winner in the state of Georgia. I am also today going to get to the government shutdown and Elon Musk's. Do not worry, I'm going to get to all of the news, but I wanted to start here because I am so beside myself. Not just beside myself, disappointed, heartbroken, sad. I don't know, pick your adjective. Because it seems as if there is going to be very little to zero accountability for anyone that was related to the efforts to overturn the 2020 election. And that really bothers me. Of course, there have been a couple of the lawyers who have been disbarred or in the process of getting disbarred. We have these state charges that Attorney General Call finally got around to filing against the false slate of electors. But when it comes to the people at the top of the pyramid, the ones who stood to benefit, from an effort to effectively overturn the will of the American voters and overthrow our government, he and his top level people are never going to be held criminally accountable for what was by any measure criminal activity. And at the same time, as an attorney and an attorney that worked in government for nearly 15 years and has worked for a federal appeals court judge for a year as his elbow clerk right out of law school, I'm so angry at District Attorney Fani Willis. I'm angry at her for not understanding and frankly sacrificing some of her personal life or this relationship that she wanted to pursue and did pursue with the special prosecutor, not knowing you just can't do that. You are trying to criminally prosecute the president, the former president of the United States. You can't go to bed with the guy that you hired to oversee the special prosecution. You can't do that. I'm sorry. You like each other? That's nice. Wait until the case is done. Because that's what the claim was, that she had a conflict of interest or such an appearance of impropriety or a conflict of interest that it would undermine the public's faith in the prosecution to such a degree, that the prosecution can't go forward. And the trial court, there ended up being a complete, do you remember this? There was this mini circus act, a complete like separate mini trial before the trial court judge months and months and months ago. And he eventually decided that she could stay on the case. But that, and by she, I mean her office could remain in control of the case. But either she, Fani, the person, or the special prosecutor needed to remove themselves from any further involvement in the case. And Trump and the defendants appealed that. And the decision that came down today from the appeals court was that no, Fani Willis and her entire office can no longer prosecute the case, because if your elected district attorney is conflicted and the appearance of impropriety has tainted the elected district attorney, it has tainted the entire office. So not only is Fani Willis gone, the entire district attorney's office for Fulton County, Georgia, and the special prosecutor all off the case. Now, I'm just going to tell you this about complex prosecutions. They're complicated. See that? It's deep insights for me. And there's tons of evidence. And these prosecutors and their investigators that work with the DA's office have been working on this for years. So this is absolutely devastating for this prosecution. Now, Steve from Milwaukee, he's already on the text line asking me a question about this. Steve, thanks so much. If you want to ask me questions, give me some comments. Again, phone and text lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Steve's question to me was, Mags, why can't Georgia just appoint a new prosecutor in the case and then the case goes on? Here is the process in Georgia, and this is what I'm really worried about. In Georgia, there is a committee when something like this happens who makes a decision about whether or not the prosecution itself, whether the case should even move forward at all. That's their first decision. And interesting to note, something like this happened before with DA Fani Willis. She had held a fundraiser for someone who was running against an incumbent candidate for public office. She later then brought some sort of corruption charges against this, the person, not whom she supported, but the incumbent. And she was eventually kicked off the case. And when the case got to this committee, they dismissed the charges. I'm going to tell you right now, here's what I am predicting, that this committee may dismiss these charges against Donald Trump. And the case will be done. Gone. And so I am so ticked off And listen, this is not only the Fannie Willis problem. But when you work in government, when you are a government prosecutor, I don't care at the federal or the state level, you cannot do what she did. The public deserved better. And as a result of that gross error in judgment, I think it's going to be the case that the entire criminal prosecution goes out the window. And even if it doesn't, they then have to assign it to a prosecutor's office who know nothing about the case, nothing about the details, haven't reviewed any of the evidence. It's an enormous setback. Just enormous. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Patrick, texting in from the 608, says he disagrees and that the audio evidence, meaning the call from Trump to Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger, is all the court needs. No, that's not what we demand of the government when it prosecutes people. We also demand that the prosecutors do not have compromising conflict of interest ethical problems that undermines the trust of the entire public, not just the public that's inclined to agree with the charges, but the entire public. And this is all the more true when you have a former president as a defendant. The decisions that get made about Fannie Willis remaining on the case, and in this case, the appeals court decision not to let her and her entire office remain on the case, wasn't about the evidence. They don't reach the evidence. This is looking at whether or not the appearance of impropriety is so grave that the entire faith of the public in how the prosecution is proceeding has been so tainted. Now, interesting to note, all three of the judges on the appeals court, Republicans. But it was a divided decision. It was two judges said she's gone. They were the majority decision. One judge dissented. And this Republican said this. In Georgia, there is a general rule that says you will not disqualify a district attorney and their entire office for the mere appearance of impropriety. You have to find like an actual conflict of interest. And interesting to note here, the appeals court, the majority said, no, this case is so special that we won't follow that rule. And the dissent pointed out the reason we have rules is because they need to be followed even in the most important cases. I'm going to give you some of my other thoughts when we come back. I'm going to get to the shutdown. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about Elon Musk. We'll talk about the Mangione federal indictment. So much happening. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I might not be able to see you, but I gotta hear from you because here at Civic Media, we're all about great news. Well, wait a minute. That's real news and great conversation. It's been a heck of a week. Lots of news. That's why my mouth is a little mumbly on this Thursday afternoon. Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. I am your resident lawyer and economist and buddy on the radio trying to break down the day's news, show you why it all matters to you. We're talking about the Fannie Willis decision that came down from the Georgia Appeals Court. This is in the corruption and conspiracy case coming out of the state courts in Georgia, accusing Donald Trump and 10 plus other people of conspiring illegally to overturn the 2020 election by applying political pressure, effectively like bribing, extorting, etc., the Georgia Secretary of State to just, you know, find enough votes to swing the state to President Trump back in 2020. I want to make my opinion on this really clear, and then I'll take more comments or thoughts from you all if you've got them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I am shocked that the appeals court overruled the trial court judge. I watched much of this mini trial that went on about the relationship between DA Willis and the special prosecutor. I listened to the arguments. So did this judge. This judge overseeing the case, his name's Scott McAfee. I think he's handled the case incredibly well. Very detailed, very fair, very balanced. And his decision was basically, he admonished the DA and said, this is a mistake. And he said, either Fani Willis and her office stays on the case or the special prosecutor, but not both. And I think that the trial court's discretion in this matter should have been respected by the appeals court. The appeals court has to know that they have more likely than not completely torpedoed this criminal case. And that is not a good outcome. So I'm ticked off at the appeals court. I'm ticked off at Donald Trump and all of his co-conspirators for breaking the law and trying to undermine the will of Georgia's voters and all of the voters in the United States that voted for Joe Biden. But I'm also ticked off at District Attorney Willis. This was an unforced error of epic proportion, unbecoming of any district attorney, and certainly an absolute, the most grievous error in judgment, given that it occurred in this case. It'd be unforgivable in just your run-of-the-mill criminal prosecution. It's absolutely unexcusable here. That's where we're at. So watch this space. It will go to a committee next. The committee in Georgia will decide whether or not they're going to dismiss the case. If they do not, they will assign a prosecutor's office. I don't know about you, but probably the rest of the district attorneys in the state of Georgia might not be so inclined to proceed in the manner that DA Willis did. Because it was mostly Fulton County voters whose votes Donald Trump was seeking to nullify when he committed these crimes along with his co-conspirators. Because that's where Atlanta is, right? So Fulton County, where Atlanta is, that's where most of the Democratic votes were coming from. That county swung that election in 2020 to Joe Biden. It is an absolute abomination that the Fulton County District Attorney's Office will not be able to continue this prosecution. A complete failure on all counts. Terry from Cross Plains, an absolutely fabulous question. He asks, Maggie, would the case have continued in the Fulton County District Attorney's Office had Fani Willis not won re-election? And my answer to that is, I don't know to a certainty, Terry, but my guess is no. And the reason that is my guess is that the taint of the prosecution overall attaches because the bad conduct already occurred, right? And the prosecution has been ongoing, the decision to prosecute, what to charge, all of that stuff. And then her relationship with the special prosecutor, just as this decision makes it impossible for anyone in the district attorney's office to carry forward the case, I do believe, it's my gut instinct, though I do not know this to a certainty, that even if she had lost the election, this decision would still have removed and barred the Fulton County District Attorney's Office from continuing the case, regardless of who happened to be in the DA's seat now. And again, that is why, if you're a Trumper and you're like, yeah, screw that Fani Willis, she abused the public's trust. Well, hey, rules for me and rules for thee should probably be the same. The abuse and the breaching of public trust and the holding of officials accountable for that breach of trust should apply regardless of party. And Donald Trump has breached the public's trust. So if some Democrat, right? We need to have a consistent application of these standards. It's why I'm criticizing the district attorney. All right, we're going to turn the page. I want to talk about the government shutdown. One of my very favorite texters, who is a conservative, who never calls me, I wish she would sometime, from the 262, has been talking about a couple of the elements of this looming shutdown, and has some of his or her facts wrong, including about the Commander's Stadium and some other issues. I'm going to dive into some of the detail here on the fact that apparently the richest man in the world is now commanding the United States Congress. Wild. And telling the president whether or not the federal government should stay open. Interesting. We'll discuss that and what it means to you and your family when a billionaire takes over the U.S. government when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned and please participate. We go to the phones and text lines next. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All are welcome.
Better watch out, you better not cry.
You better not, pal, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk government shutdown, shall we? No matter what you feel about the merits of the continuing resolution that was proposed on a bipartisan basis to keep our government funded, not for the entire year, just through March, through the time when President Trump would have taken office, a continuing resolution that Republican Speaker Mike Johnson described as clearing the decks for Donald Trump to come in and start to lead the country, regardless what you feel about the merits. Here's the reality. At 4:15 a.m. on Wednesday morning, Elon Musk posted his first tweet about the continuing resolution, and it said, "This bill should not pass." What followed from Elon Musk was 150 tweets over the course of the day, many riddled with misinformation, including that the bill included $3 billion for Ukraine. The continuing resolution does not contain that. He also posted a lie that the bill provided funding for the Washington Commanders Stadium. That is a lie. It does not include that funding. It included permission for the District of Columbia to begin to negotiate for the land to build the Commanders Stadium, but it didn't include any funding for that. So I've got one of my good conservative friends on the text line from the 262 saying, "Hey, I'm in the military. Let's shut the government down. I'll forego paychecks." But that same texter from the 262 also texted this: We need to be done raising the debt ceiling. The continuing resolution has nothing to do with the debt ceiling, A. And B, to my conservative texter friend from the 262, you just missed the talking point from your president-elect. Donald Trump announcing today that what he wants actually to happen is for there to be no more debt ceiling. He doesn't care about the debt ceiling. That's your MAGA president is saying, get rid of the debt ceiling. It's stupid. So to my dear conservative friend that's texting from the 262, you got some bad bunk information. You're not on the party talking points. Because Donald Trump thinks the debt ceiling doesn't matter, and he's called for it to be eliminated in a continuing resolution to fund the government. Just to be sure you understand what Donald Trump's position is. He wants a CR. He just wants a stripped-down CR that removes the debt ceiling. I mean, that's where we're at. And again, regardless of the merits of the continuing resolution, does anybody out there, including my conservative friend, Trump supporter on the 262 that's texting into me right now, do you really think that we should hand over the reins of our government to a guy that's from South Africa, not here, that was born with caboodles of money, who's had his hand out to the federal government for years, whose company would have gone down but for a government aid package that he asked President Obama for and was given, that has billions of dollars in federal contracts, who has conflicts up the yin-yang, who bought Twitter basically to buy the entire federal government, who could spend $10 million a day for 100 years and still have nearly $100 billion left. Do we really think it's a good idea to just hand over the U.S. government to Elon Musk? That our elected officials now have a constituency of one? That the only voice that matters in the U.S. government is now Elon Musk's? Is that a good idea? I don't think so. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're up, sir. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Oh, good Lord. From the whole conflict of interest thing, I mean, it's just riddled with conflict of interest at the federal level. Look at, you know, that they're pitching Fannie Willis's case out that based on, you know, yes, it was an error in judgment. I don't think it rises to the level of where they need to pitch out the case. But let's look at the fact that with Sam Alito is, you know, very conflicted. I mean, Clarence Thomas's wife was involved in the conspiracy to overturn the election. I mean, do they look up the food chain that far? And for these two judges that are ignoring precedent, are they conflicted at all? Did they donate any money to Donald Trump? Did Donald Trump ever, have they had any contact with Donald Trump or any of his minions? I mean, that... I mean,
Mark, I think you're pointing out the very problem when you blast past rules and precedent and the norms, and when you say that there needs to be a set of rules for those people that disagree and then a rules for me. This is the problem. It leads to absolute chaos. Elon Musk has been elected to nothing. Why is he dictating federal policy? It's so fundamentally disturbing to me. 150 tweets, and it was only after the Elon Musk PR campaign of PR campaigns all day yesterday, filled with lies and misinformation because the man doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. It was only then that Donald Trump said, we need to stop the bill. Eventually calling it after Elon Musk's tweets, Donald Trump then called the bill a, quote, betrayal of the country. By the way, Mr. Musk has over 200 million followers on X. Donald Trump is less than 100 million. And they're now threatening Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, the guy that's been doing the MAGA bidding. They're now threatening his speakership. Remember that? Kevin McCarthy went down in a ball of fire under the same exact circumstances. And here's the thing. This is a harbinger of things to come. The MAGA caucus, the MAGA party within Congress is now completely unable to govern. Their margins are so thin that it's like they can't bear any sort of disagreement amongst themselves because it fractures their very slim margins and they can't get anything done. Oh, and the very thin margins Yeah, that means there was no mandate. There still is no mandate. There's not a mandate for the MAGA movement. And because the margins are so thin, it means you actually need Democrats to vote for this stuff, which means you have to compromise to govern. And Elon Musk tweeted out, there should be nothing passed, nothing should happen until after Donald Trump takes office. So when the government shuts down at 12:01 a.m. on Saturday morning, that means nothing happens for a month. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah to everybody. No, government just shut down for a month. Wonder if people care if their Social Security checks get mailed out. Maybe. Dan from Madison, what would you like to say this afternoon, sir?
Hello? Yeah, you mean Dave?
Dave from Madison, go ahead.
Yeah, Trump wants to eliminate the debt ceiling. I'm really surprised that you would disagree with that, because they've been hold us hostage whenever it comes up.
I don't disagree with that, Dave. All I was pointing out was that one of our conservative texters to the show was going off about why the continuing resolution is bad and why we need to actually not increase the debt ceiling. And I was pointing out he doesn't actually understand the position of the MAGA president. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Am I still on?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, what they're doing now and what they do whenever they use the debt ceiling to threaten us is they're threatening to take away our ability to impose sanctions on other countries on servicing our debt, our credit rating, you know, the cost of our debt, our ability to maintain the deepest and strongest, most liquid capital markets in the world, which is a huge asset, our ability to be the monetary hegemon of the world, and the value of the dollar to be the strongest currency really in the world. There's nothing competing with the dollar right now and nothing on the horizon. But this could motivate over time, you know, other groups or countries to try to displace the dollar. In fact, there's movements now to do that, but it's very extremely unlikely that they would succeed.
Yeah, Dave, I couldn't agree with you more. One of the things that provides the U.S. strength, not just economic strength, to drive economic growth, to support small businesses, but also our political strength in, you know, again, interstate relations, is the fact that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. And it is simply stupid, like abjectly stupid and completely ridiculous to suggest that we could ever default on our debt. It's just like that's not happening. And the gamesmanship and the brinksmanship that is played over the debt ceiling is equally stupid. That is one of the major sources of American power in this world. Period. Full stop. So I agree the debt ceiling is stupid, but I think it's important for especially conservatives and MAGA folks to understand that you actually have to know what's being debated and what the MAGA president might be saying before you start weighing in on the issue of the day, which is a continuing resolution not to fund the government forever. It's a continuing resolution to get your MAGA president the right to then weigh in on the U.S. federal budget. Fact. That's where we're at. I also want to just point this out. Elon Musk signed off a few of his tweets, or at least one of his tweet, with the Latin phrase vox populi vox Dei, which means the voice of the people is the voice of God. And here's what really offends me. Elon Musk is not the voice of the people. Elon Musk only cares about Elon Musk. I don't care what you think about the politics or what party you think you're affiliated with. The richest man in the world knows no party. All he knows is his own power. It is deeply offensive to me to listen to Elon Musk try to put the mantle of the voice of the American people on him as if he speaks for us. No offense to any billionaires out there. Well, maybe offense intended. Maybe I mean just that. You don't speak for me. You don't speak for the American middle class. You don't know how much a gallon of milk costs. You don't know what a gallon of gas costs. You don't know anything about the middle class once you put a B billionaire behind your name. That is the party of Elon Musk. He is the party of billionaires. He ain't a Republican. He ain't a MAGA. He ain't a Dem. He ain't a progressive. He's not an economic populist. The only party Elon Musk knows is being a billionaire. And let's remember, courtesy of conservative Supreme Court, of our conservative Supreme Court, money is speech and corporations are people, which we all know is ludicrous. So there is no voice of the people when we're all trying to speak for a fairer tax code and, you know, child care and affordable, workable healthcare systems. The voice of us, even when we disagree, we don't have it anymore. There is no vox populi. When Elon Musk gets to tell the federal government what to do because he can buy the federal government for $277 million worth of indirect and direct donations to the Trump campaign and his control of one of the world's foremost communication platforms. The man isn't an American. Why is he determining American public policy? This is just so wrong on so many levels. We can argue about what we should be spending money on. Let's have those debates. There's good arguments there. But can we all agree that a billionaire from South Africa who ain't an American, who's got his hand in every single one of our pocketbooks, a billionaire, the richest man in the world, should not dictate American policy? No, thank you, Elon. We come back. I'm going to talk about the Mangione federal indictment and what the hell the feds are doing in what should be a state murder prosecution and why that should matter to you when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows.
Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy holidays, everybody. Let's talk about Luigi Mangione, shall we? Mr. Mangione is the accused and now indicted suspect and defendant who allegedly shot and killed Brian Thompson, the United Healthcare CEO, in cold blood. He was in court this morning in Pennsylvania. This was an extradition hearing. And it's interesting, last week I was talking a little smack about his Pennsylvania lawyer who went on the news and sort of blathered around and didn't say much and said they were going to fight extradition. Yeah, well, not fighting extradition because there were no grounds to fight extradition. And indeed, Luigi Mangione, after that hearing today, was put onto an airplane and flown to New York. Now, a couple of interesting things about the hearing this morning. First of all, he seemed attentive, was talking with his lawyer extensively. He was nodding, lifting his eyebrows, interacting. He even smiled a few times. So he's with it. I mention this because, as I said when we first started talking about this case, that ultimately his defense is going to relate to some sort of mental health disease or defect. maybe not to get him off, but to potentially reduce the penalty and or try to get him to serve time in a mental health institution as opposed to a prison. So, very important that he looks like he's with it and he's talking with his lawyers and participating in his defense. The courtroom was packed. No surprise there. Also notable about the hearing this morning was that there were Mangione supporters outside the courtroom, a couple of whom apparently were dressed up or had the hat on from the Luigi character from the video game Super Mario Brothers franchise, which I find pretty disgusting. After the hearing, there was a motorcade of New York City police that took Mr. Mangione to the Altoona Blair County Airport. He was loaded on a plane, taken back to Manhattan. Just before we got on air, he could be seen exiting a helicopter that took him from the airport just outside of Lower Manhattan and flew him from that airport in the helicopter to Lower Manhattan. And here's the interesting part. There have been federal criminal charges filed. Now, there has not been a federal criminal indictment yet. That requires a grand jury. From the day that a federal criminal complaint is filed, they have 30 days to get a grand jury to indict Mr. Mangione. There were about four, I think there's four federal criminal charges. Now, here's the interesting question. In general, forgetting about this case specifically, in general, the feds don't get involved with murder charges, even when there's some sort of interstate element to them. They don't. Murder, unless there are particular things that are of federal importance that had to deal with the interstate trap, I mean, they just don't get involved with this. This is nearly always, always left to state prosecutors, meaning the district attorney's office. A question has to be asked, what exactly is the motivation of the feds here? I can think of only two. Ego and prestige. And listen, the history of the territorial disputes between the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and the Southern District of New York Federal Prosecutor's Office are legion, going back decades, and are nothing to do with partisan politics. So, ego, prestige, profile, it's a case that everybody's going to be talking about for a long, 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 long time. The other one is this. The state of New York hasn't executed anybody in a really long time. The federal government has. Especially under the first Trump administration. They restarted. So perhaps there is some inkling that they will seek the death penalty under the federal charges. So Mr. Mangione was taken from that heliport to the federal courthouse. I do not believe his federal hearing has yet concluded. I believe he is in court as I am speaking right now in the federal courthouse. I have been in that courthouse. It's very interesting because the Southern District of New York Courthouse and the state courthouse are basically like across the street from one another. The federal courthouse is at 500 Pearl Street in Lower Manhattan. Spent a goodly amount of time in that building myself. So, fascinating. Watch this space. Because now Mr. Mangione has got the Pennsylvania state charges, the New York state charges, and now these federal charges. When we come back, we're going to listen to a little bit of news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour. Then when we come back, I'm going to give you some updates on that tragic school shooting in Madison, Wisconsin earlier this week. Please keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.